let's see. So today, I'm sorry. This is, okay. I'm on it. Today's DRB opening is at 3:03. It is Tuesday, June 12, 2012. Can we have a roll call, please?
Member Brown?
Here.
Member Herrera? Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Smith?
Here.
Member Wignott?
Here.
Vice Chair Branch?
Here.
Chair Messner?
Here. Okay. Administrative agenda?
Design Review Board minutes for May 22nd, 2012.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Chair. Yes. I'm planning on abstaining from voting because I was absent, although I have read the minutes. And I just had one process question, I guess, and this is on page 5, item J2. I note that the motion that was minuted was that this was coming back for preliminary review on the consent calendar, and then I see the agenda for today, and it's in there for final. So I'm wondering, should the minutes be that it's coming back for final review, or
it came back for final.
Yeah. So we just maybe we'll correct that to final.
Good catch. Thank you.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Abstain.
Thank you. All right, B2, Street Tree Subcommittee report.
Next meeting is June 26th at 2 p.m.
Thank you. B3, Planning Director report.
Okay, thank you, Chair Messner and members of the board. A few updates for you. On your desk, or on the dais in front of you, there are a couple of documents that were left there to start the meeting. One that we're very excited to share with you. The city won a Southern California Edison Energy Efficiency Action Grant. And what that does is it allows us to start putting together training curriculum for a number of different individuals, but our elected and appointed bodies as well, as far as what does energy efficiency mean and how can we look at our projects and try to implement some of these things in them. So with that stated, there's been a series of 4 different meetings that have been planned. While you're not required to attend any of these, we're certainly encouraging you to attend any of them, if not all of them. There's 4 that are scheduled. Each one would last between 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Lunch would be provided for those that are showing up. The first one starting on July 9th. It's a Monday. The second one on July 11th. It's a Wednesday shortly thereafter. And then we jump forward to August, August 13th, another Monday, and August 15th, another Wednesday. So just go ahead and look at your calendar, see if it's possible. We'd love to have you there and engage in that process and conversation. I don't have any additional information other than what's in the letter, but it is being spearheaded by Ann Wells if you have additional questions about the training curriculum itself. But we're pretty excited about that. Also, one of the items that you saw before you on the table was a Rosenberg's Rule of Order document. That was put there because the Planning Commission and the City Council are using those methodologies to run their meetings. At this point in time, we're not proposing to change anything with the way that the Design Review Board runs our meetings, but we wanted to let you know that that is the new policy and the new directive that those two other bodies are now using. We feel that the formal setting of the Design Review Board and the informal conversation, almost like we're sitting at a kitchen table with our applicants, is really appropriate for this body. So just know that that's out there, but we're not proposing any changes to our current setup. Some other news to share with you. Last Thursday, June 7th, the zoning administrator heard the Fresh and Easy overall sign plan proposal. And when the proposal left the Design Review Board and went to the zoning administrator, it was to approve the overall sign plan more or less as had been permitted, with one notable exception, and that was to deny the pole sign that had been proposed with that project. The zoning administrator found that that was an appropriate action and approved it as such. As a follow-up to that, while this has not happened yet, the applicant has told us that they do intend to appeal that decision to the City Council. So that will be on its way sometime soon. That item had been scheduled for the Design Review Board's Science Subcommittee today. Because of the anticipated appeal, the applicant did not show up for that item, and we're requesting and recommending of the board to go ahead and just take that off calendar until that matter is resolved.
Do we have to motion for that?
When we get to the Science Subcommittee,
all
we
right,
can.
Right.
Quick question.
Yeah.
When that does come up before the City Council, would there need to be a member of DRB present?
That's undecided at present. The decision that was appealed was not a DRB decision. It was a zoning administrator decision. In the past, when the Design Review Board decisions have been appealed to the Planning Commission, and even when those decisions have been appealed up to the City Council, that's when we've looked to a DRB member to possibly be present. Mm-hmm. We might may or may not do that okay. this time around, but we'll have that conversation as we go forward. Two other items for you for the Planning Commission. Planning Commission actions. Yesterday, June 11th, the Planning Commission heard the Willow Springs 2 project for the second time, and they approved that project. The next step for that project is the City Council, and that's scheduled to appear before the City Council on June 19th. That'll be the first of two City Council meetings for that item. And then on the heels of that one, on June 25th, the Planning Commission will be starting its public hearing process for the West Star Mixed Use Village project. June 25th will consist of primarily a site visit. Essentially, there's going to be a series of story poles that are going to be put up, some stakes indicating where buildings are going to be located, and there's going to be some visual demarcations as far as where the main road's going to be going through the property, as well as kind of the service drive aisle separating the commercial from the residential property. So we could really start understanding, well, not understanding, visually show the 3D aspects of this project to the Planning Commission as well as the community at large. It is a public hearing. It is a public site visit. You're all welcome to come if you would like to. And if not, just know that that's going forward as of this point in time. June 25th, the meeting will start here at City Hall. There'll be some brief presentations, and then we'll embark upon the site.
About what time does that happen?
6 o'clock is a start time here. There'll be a site visit, and then after the site visit, it'll return to the City Council chambers, or the Planning Commission chambers, for that matter, for a question and answer period. So that's the totality of the Planning Director's report for you today.
All right. Thank you. Okay, C, review of the agenda, projected agenda.
Thank you, Chair Messner, members of the board. On today's agenda, we have one requested continuance on your assigned subcommittee calendar. Item F1, the applicant requested to be continued to June 26th. It was case 08126 DRB, the Happy Harry's freestanding monument sign. And then, as noted in the director's report, item F3, it's case number 12051 DRB, the Fresh and Easy Overall Sign Plan. There's a recommendation from staff to take that one off calendar. As far as the continuing the Happy Harry's sign to your June 26th calendar, there's more than enough room on that calendar to go ahead and make that continuation. And as it comes to future anticipated items, the June 26th calendar currently has 4 new items that are being proposed out there, a few sign items and a few regular items. The meeting after that regularly would have been scheduled July 10th. That meeting has been canceled to give everyone a break from your duties. We do appreciate what you do, but we'll let you off that time. And then we'll reconvene on July 24th. And there's plenty of room on the July 24th calendar. So with that, I would look for the DRB to go ahead and continue, I'll leave it at that. In the Science Subcommittee meeting, we can go ahead and continue those items and take the one off calendar. So thank you.
All right, thank you. D, public comment. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Is there anybody who would like to speak? Seeing that we have none. Item E, consent calendar.
I reviewed item E1, the Bank of Santa Barbara change of use at 5880 Cairo today, and approved it as submitted. They had replaced the palm trees with the evergreen pears as requested and had detailed the railing out with a bronze finish to match the storefront finishes. So I guess that's just my review of that. Also reviewed item E2, the Bluffs residence at various addresses within the Bluffs development, and approved that for final review as submitted. Nothing had really changed since we had seen it at preliminary level.
All right, so we motion on these?
I don't think we need a motion. I think it's just...
No, we still need a motion.
Do we? Okay, so move for approval of item E1 and E2 for final approval as submitted.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion carries. Sign calendar?
Sign subcommittee met today. We request continuance for item F1, Happy Harry's freestanding monument sign at 7020 Cai Real. So I move to continue that to June 26th.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 We also met and reviewed item F2, Camino Real Marketplace overall sign plan, 6900 Marketplace Drive, and recommend approval as submitted for preliminary and final. So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. As mentioned, item F3 has been appealed to the City Council, so we move to take that off calendar.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sign subcommittee met on item F4, 5880 Cai Real overall sign plan amendment. We are continuing that with comments. Lots of discussion was focused around a new monument sign that they are wanting to install. The one trade-off is that they are removing the existing pole sign and requesting a monument sign instead, which we feel is a good direction. There were various other comments relative to additional signage that they need to deal with, directional signage, ATM signage, night renditions, and we had some comments on the monument sign, which were all documented specifically at the sign subcommittee level. So with that, I move for continuance with comments to June 26th.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Item F5, CVS Shopping Center overall sign amendment. We've reviewed basically some very conceptual ideas relative to signs, mostly focused on the minor tenants in that shopping center and how to deal with their signs, and had gave the applicant some feedback on what to do with that. We are continuing that to July 24th with comments.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Could I just make a comment on that last one? I did not find in the packet that came in the mail a copy of the CVS overall sign plan, and I did not look for it on the city website, so I don't know if it was put up there.
I could go ahead and speak to that for a second. There's a It was on the city's website.
Okay.
As far as it being included in your packet, it was. There are two items happening on today's calendar involving that shopping center. Both are utilizing the same set of plans. So there was two one-page staff reports attached to the front of that plan, one for the shopping center and one for the facade improvements.
Yeah, I saw those, but I didn't see a copy of the actual...
Oh, the actual text.
OSP.
The text of the existing sign amendment, sign plan.
Sorry.
So I don't know if that was on the website or not. Actually, I didn't have time to look. So, but if it's coming back in July, I just maybe if the planner could arrange to have it put up on the website so we could see what the OSP is.
For the OSP itself, for the CVS, no text had been provided at this point in time. It was so conceptual in nature. I was getting two mixed up in my head. The first one was for the Santa Barbara Bank and the Bank of Santa Barbara overall sign plan.
That was included.
That was included. It's gone through the process a few times. And after, when we hear the sign programs for the first time, usually no text is proposed at that point in time. Usually we just look at it from an aesthetic point of view. And then after the design review board reviews it for the first time, then the applicant crafts the language the second time it returns, typically speaking.
Okay. Was there not an OSP for that center when it was a...
Longs.
Longs. Doesn't that sort of apply? I mean, the language that was in that plan, would it not...
They're proposing to replace that with current text. So that historically and currently until something else replaces it is accurate.
Okay.
But with the overall sign plan being proposed, it gives the applicant the opportunity to revise that entirely.
It is a starting point that should be documented and part of the process, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good to look at what the rules and regulations have been that area has had to follow, and then see if what CVS is suggesting is along those same lines, or if it's radically going to change or not. So
understood, and we'll have that provided for
you. Yeah, I mean, I was just going to the fact that the staff report said there was an overall sign plan attached for this item. The plans were attached, but there was no OSP attached. You're saying it hasn't been developed yet. I can understand that. But could we get the
current exhibit,
the current one up on the website or sent around to us in advance of the July 24th meeting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Revised calendar, final calendar? Final calendar, H1. Madam Secretary?
Item H1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 11-165-DRB, Hearn Edition, 626 Cambridge Drive, APN 069-261-017.
Brian Highfield is the planner on this case, but he's not here today, so I'm going to take care of his project for him. Brian Nelson is the applicant. If you give me a moment, I'll hand out the plans, and then we can go from there. And while I'm doing this, the previous motion is up on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Gave me golf balls.
So as noted on the screen, there are a few items in your last motion, the first and foremost being that the trellis on the back side of the property was to be reduced by half. The applicant has done that. In a minute, I'll go ahead and let Brian take you through the project plans to show you exactly where that has been done. The applicant had already proposed a color palette, which was part of the motion just acknowledging that. And the last thing was that the applicant was going to provide some exterior lighting cut sheets, and those are on the final page on the plan set. Staff doesn't really have any other additional comments than that, but with this, with that, I'll go ahead and turn the page, turn the presentation over to Brian Nelson to just walk you through those three changes.
Brian Nelson, project architect. Last time I was here, we were talking about the deck in the rear, not the trellis. I think you said trellis actually was the deck. And if you look on page 3, you will see that we've cut that deck down to, I guess I actually don't have a dimension on it. It's about 9.5 feet wide. It used to be 17 or something. So in order to do that, I had to re-space the columns down below. We'll go back to that in a moment. So how wide is it there? Yeah.
Inside cleared is about 9 and 9.4.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where we reduced it, and it moved. We took the southern part of it off, the right-hand side, and so it moved to the left. And then we used to have a French door and a window there, but there was a conflict between the railing and the window. And so because it used to be part of the deck, so we went to sliding French doors up there instead of trying to get a door and a window. So that's a sliding French door. If you now go to the elevations on sheet 5. If you go to the east elevation, lower left corner, we redistributed those columns, spread them out a little bit. They're not exactly equal, but it works really well for the window spacing and all that, and for the deck upstairs. And then you can see the new French door slider upstairs on the second floor there. So that was basically the only changes that you asked for last time. You'll see that on sheet 5 at the bottom, that didn't come out very well in the reproduction. It's a lantern, and it has with the shield inside for the night sky. I have an original cut sheet if you need to see it, but yeah. You can basically see what it is there, I think. So, yeah. Yeah. Out on there, yeah. I guess I don't have the cut sheet. My mistake. Right. If you want to get lanterns today that look stylish in a style that fits some architecture, you can't get them that look like lanterns. So if you put the shield inside, there's two types of shield. There's either a cylinder shield, or they put metal in place of each piece of glass, or on the inside of each piece of glass. So basically, it only shines down.
Right. So what you're showing is here is no shield because it's a light bulb.
Why? That's why I put the note with shield for night sky. So I don't know how else you do it. You black it out, and so there it is up on the screen.
Yeah, but it's the same picture.
Yes. Right. But that's why the note says with shield. Even Handelman doesn't show them with a shield.
Right, but it doesn't say that it's fully shielded or partly shielded. I mean, this doesn't really tell us. We don't want to get technical. It say that the light bulb is fully shielded. And
okay, we can add a note.
You know, so we really want to be technical about this. I mean, you could have shield that goes down a quarter of the way, and it's not, you know, fully shielded, full cut off.
Okay.
Any other comments?
She's still mumbling under her breath.
Member Brown, was your microphone on? We're having a hard time hearing you over here.
No, I'm mumbling because it's not on. Because I was mumbling.
So I'm just here to answer questions.
Okay. Any more questions? Carl, you looking deep thought?
No.
No? All right. Bob? No questions. Okay. Comments?
Well, I think that Member Brown raises a valid point, and not with this applicant, but there was another applicant that was building a new residence on Carlo where Pedernal tees into Carlo, and we had a discussion about these exterior lamps, and the applicant showed something that was similar to this and said that it would be night, dark sky principles compatible and so on. If you drive by there at night, essentially you see that what was put up, it looks very similar to this, but didn't have any shielding and does just shine right out on the sheet. So I'm prepared to accept what's being submitted, but I think the note should be further clarified to exactly what's going to happen there so that it is a fully shielded fixture. Not to, you know, beat on this too much, but I think we've shown some leniency in other projects, and what eventually gets put up is not really what we were hoping for. So,
do the field inspectors follow through on that?
Should
they should be? Yeah,
they should be. Sometimes they don't. All right. Any other questions? I mean, comments?
I would just like to make a comment. I won't be voting for the project because I don't think it's compatible with the neighborhood. As I previously indicated, Brian always does nice projects. It's well designed, but I just think it's too big. This will be the first two-story house along this street. It will change the character of the street. And I think it should have been designed in a different way to respect the fact that the neighborhood is very low and horizontal. But anyway, so there you are.
Scott?
I look at this and I think that you've met the issues that we asked for. I think I agree with a little bit more clarification about the light. I could get behind that, but I think you've met the comments in the motion, and so I'm prepared to support this.
Carl?
Yeah, I think you've done a fairly good job of stepping it up and down the hill, so and trying to reduce the mass of the second floor. So I think it came out quite well. I'm aware, because as Cecilia noted, that this is a purely one-story street at the moment, but I think this will still blend in and work fairly well. So I'm in support of it at the moment.
Tom?
I'm also in support of the project. And yeah, I think there should be the wording should be more precise regarding the cutoff shield for the light, so that it really does do the dark sky compliant principles. I like the way this looks. I also, like Carl, I like the way that the second floor is stepped back and cut up, so it just doesn't present one big lump. It looks very nice. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
I agree with Member Smith's comments. However, going back to the actual comments that we had from last meeting, number one has been addressed with the deck area being cut in half. We have seen. Did we see a color palette at the last meeting?
Yeah,
that's been submitted. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're calling for exterior lighting plans and cut sheets. And where are these exterior lights physically going to be?
If you look at the
located?
Floor plans, they're on the floor plans.
Which sheet is that?
2 and 3. You can see the light switches and the indication of where they are outside each door, front and back, along the sides. There's some in the front, some in the back, and some along the driveway side on the left.
Could I ask a quick question, Brian?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about this before. But looking at the back under lanai, there's 1, 2, 3... 4, 5, 6. It looks like 6 exterior, 7 exterior wall mounted if you count bedroom 3. Are these all the same fixtures?
Yes. The ones under the lanai light the lanai and the barbecue area, and the others light the backyard, which is, as you remember from the photos, is a pretty big backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also stubbed out for garden lighting, meaning any
right
real low solar almost height lighting.
I almost wish that I hadn't passed so quickly over it on the comments section. If we're still in comments, I'd like to revise my comments. It seems like a lot of repetition of one fixture. It's just my own, you know, initial gut feeling looking at the number of them there, when perhaps for lighting the Lanai, maybe a ceiling fixture in the center of each panel would work out well.
12.
And maybe with this, you know, and maybe maybe possibly the fixtures that are right over the outer countertop, those could be recessed into the deck surface.
I do have a recessed light.
Yeah, because it just seems like a lot of places for the same fixture all over the place.
Okay.
So I take it that's a motion.
No.
Comment.
No, that's okay.
I thought we were still in the comment section.
I know,
so
it's okay.
That's
okay. Any other comments?
So on this sheet two, in the terrace area, what we're seeing are lights that are on the first story and then also up on the second story. It's the same fixture. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, can I make a suggestion
at
this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree that maybe we ought to do recessed light in each of the four panels in the Lanai, and therefore we don't have lighting on the building. And instead of having three on those outer posts, we ought to eliminate the middle one and only have two. Therefore, I think that really helps. And if we do that, we would eliminate the two on either side of the barbecue area on the inside of that post.
Yeah, those would be
so
recessed.
I can see that. That makes sense. And we'll just use the recessed lighting.
I can live with that, certainly.
Great.
I think this is much more preferable.
All right. Any further? Can I have a motion?
So you're talking about eliminating the one on the center post?
Yes.
As well as the two on the inside of the post?
Yes. And we'll put recessed light above the sink, then leave the one above the barbecue, and do four.
And then what about on the wall at the house?
None on the wall.
Get rid of all of those. Yeah. So all we're talking about in terms of wall-mounted fixtures on the rear are the two on the post?
That's correct.
And then the one off of bedroom number three.
And the one off upstairs.
Right. And the one upstairs.
Right.
That's one on the porch, and then on the side, the walkway along the side. All right, I'll take a stab at a motion.
All right, let's go.
I will move for final approval with the following condition: that the lighting is revised as follows. Under the Lanai, the wall-mounted fixtures are removed on the on the eastern face of the Lanai, the center fixture is removed, thereby leaving only two fixtures. The Lanai will get replaced with recessed lighting, one per bay, underneath the Lanai. And I think that's it.
Do we need to have that sheet come back for final on consent kind of thing? Is that, and this sheet is going to change, and we don't have the information about the fully shielded fixture.
That's true.
I'm sorry, Brian, but it seemed like another visit is in order to the just on the consent. And
yeah, I'm okay with that.
Consent would be fine.
Staff will respect that decision if you wish to go that way. Just know that another option is to have that motion stand, but with staff to work with a selected member of the DRB to make sure that the final outcome is to your liking.
Well, I was suggesting it come back on the consent calendar for that reason, that someone could, like...
Or staff could just review it, is what he's saying. Right?
If it's done the way Scott suggested, would that make it a little bit faster?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever. I could volunteer for that.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind.
Okay. Then my motion stands.
And the detail on the lights.
Yeah.
And the, and to add to the motion that the detail for the light clarifies that it's fully shielded.
Okay.
Right.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Chair Messner, if we can have a 2 minute or so recess so I can go grab our planner, that would be appreciated.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take a 2 minute break.
I asked before.
I'd love to get you. Calendar. Conceptual preliminary calendar. Item J1, Madam Secretary.
Item J1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 12-080 DRB CVS Shopping Center Facade Improvements, 5801 to 5878 Calariel, APN 069-110-096.
All right, good afternoon. So just to briefly reiterate, this is 12080 DRB and a land use permit for minor alterations to the existing CVS shopping center. Today the applicant is proposing facade improvements to the building. This consists of a CVS pharmacy as well as six associated inline tenants. The applicant is proposing improvements to the facades of the CVS and the six inline tenants that include a new stone at the base of the exterior walls and a new slate finish above that that will replace the existing wood paneling. Other improvements include a refinish and a repaint of the existing beams, replacement of inline tenant doors, and a new under canopy lighting. We do have the applicant, the property owner, and the agent here today, and I'll hand it over to them. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Yourselves.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my name is Michael Holliday, the architect for the project, with Jerry Roche from our office and Jack Chakowski, who's the property owner. And appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We presented earlier to some of you about the signage program, and so this is sort of an integral presentation where the signage is a big part of the project, as well as sort of refinishing the existing center here. So just for some review for you, Scott, just to kind of bring you up to speed what some of the things we talked about. Essentially, the existing center, this is probably one of the best photographs I'll hold up right here, sort of shows the existing situation with the signage, which is being actually removed, reduced, and relocated up to be higher. It's part of what we spent some time talking about today. We'll go into that in a bit more detail. But all of this brown, sort of brown on brown, is being sort of refinished and upgraded significantly. So that's what we want to kind of walk you through, and we can also talk a little bit more about some of the signage changes. But just to orient you to the project, this is what it looks like kind of up close. One of the other big issues is we're about 300 feet from the road, so we're set so far back from the road. I mean, this is a very long horizontal building, as our elevations show. But that's the condition, sort of looking at the infill area between the CVS and Albertsons. This other photograph shows some of the existing conditions right outside CVS, where they've actually painted some of the wood. In other areas, it's an actual natural sort of a stain wood. We're proposing to leave the existing concrete columns. They're kind of the one thing that sort of feels pretty good out there, and working with what's there. This is sort of a very cost-effective redo, but trying to rework this portion of the project, which is all sort of T111 plywood and a lot of different types of lighting here. One of the main issues is these sign cans hang so far down, they really compress sort of the whole image from the exterior. So we're relocating these to the upper portion of the facade, and then that's going to open that up. And then what we're going to be showing you today is a recladding of the existing materials there. We're working with the aluminum door. We're actually going to be keeping this as an aluminum door and then repainting out the existing glaze storefront system and recladding the above and below. So this is actually going to be adding a sandstone base all the way across the front, and the solid areas are getting a slate stone that we'll show you. Excuse me. Don't want to get too much into signage, but it's a big part of the project, as you can see. And there's, you know, we're going to be repairing and repainting and refinishing a lot of the upper ceiling areas. So just these images kind of orient you to what's out there right now. As far as the drawings that are before you, this is a computer rendered model that kind of shows the overall image. We talked about taking the signage, which currently is spanning between here. We're actually reducing the size of the signs slightly and relocating them up to open all this up. And then leaving the existing glazing, we looked at replacing that. It was just cost prohibitive. So we're leaving all of that and refinishing it out, repainting it out, doing a sandstone material, sort of a plinth base that's going to continue all the way along the front. This is a really kind of bright orange tile out right now out in front of CVS, and that's all going to get sandstone across there. And then this will be the slate stone that we'll show you in a minute. Just flipping through your drawings, we've got the survey. Again, this is way back from the street, so it's hard to see the site plan, aerial photos, context images that you've got in there as well. Sheet A, 0.3, kind of shows the elevations and gives you a good sense for what the project's looking like. There's Albertsons on one end, CVS on the other end, and then we've kind of taken pieces of the project and blown them up so that you can kind of zoom in and get a better sense for what's being proposed as far as part of this project. So the CVS, you can see we're kind of all of the glazing areas are remaining the same. We're just sort of reskinning the existing exterior face. And so the proposal is to reclad the base area here with a sandstone material. And we looked at a number of options on refinishing this, and Mr. Joukowsky has used this with some success down south, and he likes the natural materials, and we do too. So that's where the slate sort of came up as a nice complement to the sandstone, low maintenance, sort of rich way of enhancing the exterior without adding a whole new finish that doesn't really fit. And then that carries all the way down to the end of this portion of the project. We're not really getting into the Albertsons piece because that's kind of in plan, sticks way out. And this, if we're going to do anything, it's sort of that sort of makes sense as the main aspect to focus upon. Sheet A4 is some computer, some 3D images that sort of show in a little bit more detail what we're proposing to do, as well as a section there that we really want to improve the lighting in this area. And this little section four here, we're looking at doing a canopy light, which actually is going to be suspended down inside to replace those surface mount fluorescent lights. And some light bollards out here in front, which are shown. We thought about the idea of actually doing a surface mount light across the base, but we decided we really would rather not do that. We'd rather, if there's any lighting issues, we'd rather solve it by adding some more of these fixtures. We haven't developed a detailed floor plan yet. This is just sort of concept. But this gives you a good sense for what we're thinking about doing. And we brought some of the materials, which are going to be a big part of the solution there. The sandstone, which would be kind of a cut stone finish, something like that, natural sandstone. And then that shows the 12 by 12 slate, which would be, you know, this is a pretty good representation of how that would look. The existing beams are called out to be sandblasted and refinished with a natural wood finish, so it's not like this heavy, dark brown wood finish. And I think with the lighter, if you think about this, the lighter sandstone all the way across here, the lighter slate above that, the signs being relocated up here, which are going to be improved, and then taking all of this dark brown up to a natural wood tone is going to be a nice way to complement everything that's there. So we're trying to work within the kit of parts that we have and kind of let the natural quality of the materials read through. And then I think that's going to feel really nice with the existing concrete columns, too. So there's sort of a natural palette of colors and materials. And we've got some other ideas on the paint samples that we've suggested, pretty much an off-white color, kind of a rich, creamy kind of color that works and complements with those materials. But that's the proposal. We're here. This is our first time here, so we're here for concept level review and approval.
Questions?
Yes. I got one question I've got for you is the facades in between CVS and Albertson on sheet A0.4, and it talks about the wood framing that goes around the windows that are currently there.
Yes.
Says to be painted color P1, and I probably missed it, but I'm not. Could you show me what that color is?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so it's kind of an
option. Yeah, the idea is something that actually works, and we're wide open to comments on this, but I mean, if we're working with, here's sort of our palette.
Right.
We wanted something that was a little bit crisp. Let's put that one in there, too. You know, and it could even go maybe a little bit, something that was a long way from what's there right now.
Yeah.
I
understand.
Yeah, so some kind of a warm white, and we've actually, you know, looked at this color as a kind of Benjamin Moore winged white, but it's you can see it's warmer than like the bluer white down below. That's just something in that category is what we're thinking.
No, I'm familiar with the area. My father-in-law used to have a shop there, Trichler Optical.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The other question I have is looking at the color renderings, I'm seeing something of a contrast between the sandstone base and the slate cladding above. But looking at the samples here, I don't see that much of a contrast.
This is one of the problems with trying to get it to be, you know, this, we actually took the color off of this. I think it's going to be very subtle like this. I mean, really what we're probably going to get more is of a pattern difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's brown on brown.
I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying it if there's, well, it's not comment section, so I'm not going to comment. I'm just asking because, I kind of like to see a little bit of not just a difference in pattern, but a difference in, you know, so the base does look darker than the upper. But I know you're trying to get away from dark because it's a dark area. So, but anyways, the main question was I just wanted to see, is this representational of all of the sandstone that's going up? Is it going to be variegated in any way?
Yeah, I think one of the things with a natural sandstone finish, even in this one piece right here, you can see that you get a lot of the darker colors along with some of the lighter colors.
All right.
Our concept was to try to work with this palette of the natural material, and then the slate, you know, you can see there's pretty good contrast between this and this.
You'll get some shadowing also off the sandstone.
Well, but this is undercover and faces north, so it's going to be all shadow.
Right.
Okay, well, that was the only questions I had.
Carl?
What color are the doors going to be?
What do we indicate there, Jer? There's
a metal clad wood door, and it's shown a dark gray aluminum cladding on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these have indicated right here, sort of a... What we've got right now, there is one thing that doesn't work really well on some of these is where the doors and everything else is the same color. You're not really visually sure where to go in. It's actually, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but
that's natural,
right,
aluminum.
Right. Yeah. Here you go. It's really amazing when you're walking along, you can all of a sudden sort of see that as far as the aluminum door. And since this was all going to white, we thought that we could go with a metal clad that was maybe darker color. And that's what we've shown here on the rendering, was that maybe this is a metal clad you know, like a warm gray, something that complements that. Could even be aluminum, could go to a brushed aluminum, which would be lighter, you know. If you got any thoughts or suggestions there.
And you're painting out the existing aluminum window frames with the wood trims.
Yeah.
So it all becomes one unit.
Actually, yeah, they're not even believe it or not, they're all, I guess, it's sort of a mishmash. A lot of this is all wood, painted wood. We've looked at, like, several different ways to solve the problem, and it looked like just painting out all of this in a lighter, you know, white color where the up above here becomes the cladded slate color. This becomes a sandstone, and then in a few areas the slate cladding finds its way up. But overall, it looks like this drawing. We're just sort of painting all that out because it's kind of hard to, you know, you just end up chasing your tail if once you get involved in replacing that in Title 24 and dual glazing, and, you know, so we just have to leave it.
Scott?
No questions.
Cecilia?
Mm-hmm. No questions.
Bob?
I wasn't here for the earlier discussion on the signage, so is there anything that's relevant to that would factor into what we're seeing from an aesthetic standpoint? Was the sign subcommittee okay with the what's being proposed as far as interior illuminated signage and where it's proposed to be mounted?
The sign concept was having a background material with reverse channel letters, so they're halo lit or potentially face lit. I guess we didn't really pin that down, but they're not big. Like right now, the existing signage are large can lights, and that's not what the new ones are. The new ones are all background material, solid background material, not translucent like is shown, with individual letters mounted.
Okay. That's in accordance with what's shown on this sheet A 0.4?
It's a little bit similar. What's basically the main thing they were checking with us on was instead of having the signs where they are now.
Right.
That they would be suspended higher up.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea from the point of view of visibility.
On the drawings, they're shown attached right to the outer face edge of the fascia. But what they're
just in front of
what they're asking for actually is they'll be suspended just a little bit underneath them. If you could,
so there would be a gap.
Yeah, if you could run that, take that little, it'd be a little bit farther forward.
That area where the gutter is, if you could just make that larger, yeah.
Okay. So they wouldn't be mounted face mounted. There, it would be back just a little ways and then hung from
under the eave.
Under the eave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was kind of my question: is how did that work from a?
That was what they're asking for. That's kind of what we, in concept, we agreed.
Rather than being hung from the.
Right.
Further down where they are presently. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then I guess my other question was: have you looked at the interface of your new proposed facade with the west wall of the Albertsons building? I mean, it seems like you kind of have a transition there where you've got the original, it's sort of cinder block with some brown paint over it, and then your new facade, you know, just runs right into that corner. Is there a way, I mean, is that going to be very noticeable, or do you think it goes away because you've got landscaping there, or what? Aesthetically, how do you think that's going to look?
That's a really good point. I mean, we actually looked at this, and fortunately for the project, this photo probably shows it better than anything else.
Yeah.
There's a large bush here in the corner, and also this is the receding back side of the corner, so it really is a pretty clean place to stop and not turn the corner. Because once you turn the corner, then it just, it's like, where do you stop? So it was sort of a nice location to this just runs right down. And then the facade of this building is way out here. So you've really got to be in the very back corner to even notice, I think. And that's kind of what we decided to do.
The landscaping that's there will remain. There won't be any change to that, correct?
That'll get tuned up a little bit.
So it would have even more of a shielding effect on that interface between the two, the new facade and the existing Albertson side. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's a there's some existing landscape out there that we want to see improved and enhanced, but right now the proposal is really just to sort of get your feedback and approval to solve all this problem. And then this seemed to be a really good, you know, when you look at these large photos, you can get a better sense that it really is a good spot to sort of run it and stop it, and that there isn't a good spot to turn the corner, because once you start, you can't stop, kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay, comments? Tom?
I think it's a pretty good solution. I mean, okay. from what's dark and existing. Oh, by the way, this is the first time this is here, and I think we're supposed to do declarations. Mm-hmm. So, for the record, I've visited the project and not spoken with the applicant. I think it's a relatively good solution. I have a couple of. Just since we're at the conceptual level, I have a couple of what-ifs to throw at you, potentially. With regards to Tom's comment about the slate and the stone kind of blending, I was looking at this, and actually as I drove past and I was kind of looking at it again, you know, there's a rich palette of materials with the stone, the slate, the concrete, the wood, the CMU. There's a lot going on here. So just out of curiosity, I think I don't know who's made the point, but of the wainscot, the stone, maybe wanting to be a darker color, and maybe there's a different grade of sandstone that might work. Potentially, I wondered if you'd thought about, you know, maybe even incorporating some sort of concrete kind of wainscot to tie into the columns, perhaps, or even brick, I don't know, used brick or some combination thereof. I'm not putting down what you have here. It works for me. I'm not sure that it's 100% the best solution, and maybe there's another material or color. I like the idea of the white on the windows, particularly since there's so much wood out there. I think that'll help it pop. I think that's a great idea. And then coming back with the darker color for the doors, I like that. I'm just a little curious about. I guess one of the things that feels a little bit unresolved for me is that once you go to all this stone, then I guess for me the columns themselves feel a little bit out of place. Not a lot, but just a little. Just these, because you have these cool concrete columns, and then you've got all this. Then you go to this natural palette, especially with the stone that's cut, and obviously the slate's nice and square and stuff like that. But I don't know, it felt a little contrasty with regards to the, you know, kind of the man-made stuff going on with the concrete. I don't know, it's still something to think about, potentially. I mean, you can take it a grain of salt, but I think overall what you have presented works at this point, but I just thought I'd throw out some food for thought that jumped out at me when I saw it, just with regards to how this, you know, you've got all these brown tones and how it resolves with the CMU as it turns the corner. I agree with you that an inside corner is the perfect place to terminate, because you can't continue it on forever. So, I don't know, I just thought I'd toss that out there.
Tom?
I'm kind of in agreement with Scott. I like the whole concept. It's a smart idea. I would like to see. I guess the only problem I have is in the presentation of the renderings, because I don't think that gives us a real accurate picture of what's happening, because the roof is impossibly brighter than what it really is. The signs need to kind of reflect what they're really going to look like and where they're going to be hung. And, of course, there was the thing where, because I was looking there at a certain level of contrast between the wainscoting of the base and the slate above, which actually I like. It actually kind of fits along with the Albertsons, too, because it's kind of a two-tone with darker on the bottom, you know. It would just be nice, and I know this has come up many times with many different applicants, and they always say, gee, you know, we just can't get the color tuned in on the printer accurately. But it would be nice if you could somehow...
Sure, and we can shadow that, too, because that's all on the north side. It would make a big difference.
And even if it means going over the, like, what's there right now, even if it means going over that by hand with a light warm gray marker to kind of tone it down and kind of make it look like it, you know, so it gets a little bit better picture, I guess. But the whole idea that you guys are presenting, I liked. So, that's that.
Thank you.
Carl?
Conceptually, I like what you're presenting. I'm hung up on the difference in texture and color between, I like the sandstone base, but difference between that and the slate. And I'm just worried about, I worry about the slate being the wrong material, maybe. I'm not sure. I guess if you've used it someplace, I'd like to see a picture of it. But how I would describe it is, the 5-point cuts natural sandstone is a very organic material. And the slate is so smooth and rectangular in pattern that it feels more contemporary, and they feel to me like they're fighting each other. And because they're the same color palette, more or less, in that earthy tan, I'm just not convinced that's going to work. And I'm not, as that slate goes up and over the window frames, I'm just wondering if it's going to feel too heavy to be supported for those long stretches of storefront window. I like what you're doing with the colors of the frames, the doors, everything else. I mean, I think what you're doing with the signs is good. I'm not convinced the slate is the right solution for the remaining wall area.
Mm-hmm. Cecilia?
Well, I think making this area lighter, getting rid of a lot of that dark wood will certainly improve. It'll be more inviting because the space is kind of a little bit dreary. You walk through there.
Yeah, dark.
And so, yeah, it's sort of dark. Even with the new lighting fixtures at night would be nice. Interesting Carl's comments. Why did you choose the slate? Is it just based upon your experience at your other establishment that you use the slate with the sandstone?
Yeah, and I think it's a subtle contrast in terms of textures and shape. And that's what led me in that direction and was support from Michael and Jerry. So, frankly, I like it.
I think having a picture of your other site would be interesting and helpful.
We got a bunch of photos we could show you.
Do you? Yeah, that would be helpful.
I mean, the other option was sort of the standard solution here would have been the, if you're going to, you know, kind of Hispanicate this a bit, you could go with the plaster, you know, with a steel trowel. And we just said, nah, we really want to do, so what other, you know, you don't want to do a ceramic tile. You don't want to do a cut Attakine stone. So that's where, you know, Jack and we really like this. We felt like it was a sort of subtle, you know, difference. So, like I said, this is our first time to come and present and show you the rich palette of materials that we're trying to work with and come up with something that felt good. And then, you know, we also looked at maybe the base is a darker slate. But we said, we kind of like the richness of the natural sandstone. So it's sort of... Which way kind of do we want to push it one way or another? And we kind of came up with this to sort of present to you.
Maybe you need to play with the pattern and texture of the sandstone so it's a little more regular and not so organic relative. You know, I don't know.
Could
I don't
be.
Know what
yeah,
the solution
could be a good
is. You know, I'm just
maybe it's
throwing out my impressions at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a precast wainscot might be something that would work better. I don't know.
Yeah. A little bit, and then we've got a lot more flexibility with that. One issue, too. Question is vandalism an issue out here at all? With paint, spray paint, and
I was going to ask that actually about the slate because
It hasn't been. We get a little bit of graffiti on facing the freeway.
I haven't noticed too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't think on the Kyrial side.
Because typically, that's where anybody goes with the paint, because you just paint the plaster, and it's hard to paint the stone, but if it's not an issue there, which we haven't seen, we thought the natural materials would really sort of embellish that. And I do think it's a good comment about the concrete. That's why our palette was basically the concrete, the stone, and then this felt like a nice upgrade from painted plaster, which would be your other standard solution.
Bob?
I don't want to clab those columns, because then they just get bigger.
No, I think the columns are cool. I like those.
They need to stay the way they are, and you just need to kind of work with it as best you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think your approach is admirable, to lighten up that area, to relocate the signs, make them more visible from Kyrial. Like Carl, I'm kind of troubled by the competition that's going on between the stone and the wainscoting and the cladding with the tile. It just doesn't. And I'm almost, I guess, coming down in the camp of having the more of a stuccoed appearance, you know, the wainscoting, and then something that's lighter and more solid up above than the tiled pattern. So I'd really be interested in seeing where you think you've successfully mounted that kind of material, you know, elsewhere. If you have some photos where that combination is in place and working well, I'd like to see that. And I agree that terminating in that interior corner is a good idea. I think overall, you know, you're headed in the right direction as far as the wainscoting material. I like that sandstone, that natural 5-point finish, and the treatment of the doors, leaving the columns as they are. I think that's good. So that's my comments.
I pretty much agree with everybody. I just had a thought. I thought Carl and you guys, what if the sandstone was maybe at the base of the columns there, just to match with the, I mean, it would pull out that base feeling, only go up as high as, no higher than what's at on the building. And then you have the concrete continuing, and it would kind of blend more the everything more together. It would pull the concrete, the slate, and the sandstone.
I don't think it really looks like a tack, a plant on at that point.
I think the columns.
It's got, you got to go top to bottom.
So the thing is, it has to. Even though we're cladding ancient materials onto a modern structure, you know, it's got to look like it belongs there. Like, for instance, the sandstone on the base across there, it's not just there because it looks pretty. If this was actually a masonry building from 200 years ago, that would be the foundation. That's why it's there. That's why it feels its rightness. And if we do that to the columns, it's going to look tacked on.
Okay. Well, that was just, I only threw that out there only because of the comments of mixture of everything, and I'm trying to think how can you make more things more blending. Mm-hmm. So, fair enough.
I'd throw out, because I think what we're doing is we're working with a building that has a certain structure to it, the concrete columns and the wood structure, and that all feels a little leaning towards contemporary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I come back to the 5-point sandstone thing, and that's just not in that character. And so maybe, you know, I come back to, maybe it's the base that's not necessarily the wrong material, but maybe the wrong pattern. Maybe, you know, maybe a more smooth cut contemporary leaning pattern would make it work. I don't know. I'm open.
Okay.
But yeah, the whole idea of what you're doing is good. I mean, we're all in the right direction.
Great.
I think it's great. So it's just fine tuning some things.
Yeah, it's all about getting the right materials. I mean, we're not adding anything. We're just trying to get these materials and finishes and the lighting and everything right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: is that sandstone base, which I like a lot, I like the texture of it. I like the subtleties of the natural change in color. Is that the least offensive of the stones, and that we could work with that and revisit the slate, or
I think it's either or, really. I mean, I think what I'm hearing across the board is everybody's, the material of sandstone is great. It grounds it. It goes with the wood. That's all good. It's fighting with the slate. So, you know, I mean, typically that kind of cut sandstone you'd want to see with stucco, or even in some cases board and bat or something like that, right? But then you have that on top of it, and now you want a different base, or so it's either a precast where maybe it's got a, you know, a lip on it somehow, or it's a different cut, or it's, you know, it's just, maybe it's just a smooth cut, but it's proud of it a little bit, and it's got some defined lines. I think it's just that they're, like Carl said, they're just kind of fighting each other, and just their texture, and of course their colors are so similar. It'd be nice to see if there's more, you know, that's where the photos of what you've done in the past would come in, to see if in a larger, you know, I mean, when you're judging off two pieces of something that's going to cover a big space, it's not always 100% representative of what you're actually going to get. So that's why photos, I think, would help.
Well, and this, I assume the slate is going to have some variation in color in it, just like the sandstone does. So, you know, by the time you get that all together, really what you've got is a different texture happening.
No, that's fine. I can appreciate your the points you've raised with the contrast of the two. But I just wanted to clarify, okay, if we took this out and...
I mean, personally, I think it's really hard to beat the Santa Barbara sandstone for a stone. Yeah. If you were to come in with something else, and you know, we'd probably be going, it's not natural to the area.
Right.
So.
Well, and I'm happy as heck with this.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that everybody embraces it, and then let us revisit what's happening above it.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Yeah. Great. The classic way would be if this was a smooth or steel trowel plaster finish or something that we paint. I mean, that's your classic Santa Barbara, which is all around.
Sure.
The only thing I don't like about those other ones is that 2030 sand finish. I mean, so we can look at, we were just looking at ways, and Jack was sort of saying, hey, I love this texture. So we're, you know, this texture, maybe it's I think maybe the pattern, the rectilinear pattern of this. And the other issue is how we're dealing with this on a few of these little soffit conditions. Most of this is smooth, but so those are just details. We just wanted to kind of get your thoughts, and I think these are really good comments, and we can think about them and come back. And
well, I'm getting, you know, maybe with the, like Carl said, you know, if the sandstone has a different, if it's not so rough and it's more smooth, then maybe that helps tie into that as well as those cool concrete columns.
We've also got to deal with, like, these little soffit conditions in a few areas. It's mostly smooth, but how we resolve some of these little details. So that'll kind of help us think about this discussion.
I think one of the big things because the way we're all talking about, you know, could we see some photographs where this has been done and
successfully integrated into a building that's of a similar scale or something.
Presentation is going to be everything by the next meeting. So because we definitely would love to see photographs of where this stuff has been done. And also on the color rendering, it really needs to be more representative of what's going to happen.
I don't know who it is. Somebody in town actually takes sandstone and cuts it, cuts it.
Right.
Right, so it's a very almost random ashlar, right, and it has a little more contemporary feel than High Point.
Yeah, we've actually done that. So
you know, so.
And if I can share, does the DRB have any comments regarding the proposed lighting?
Yeah, it's a good comment.
I really like the concept of the hanging light that you
pendant
have.
Lights, yeah, picture.
Yeah, I really like that a lot.
And what is what's the color of the lights, of the fixture? You show us, but you don't tell us.
Yeah, we haven't really decided. I mean, if part of that would be the warm gray color that would match the door.
Okay.
So it's a kind of a rich, warm gray metal color so that all the metal has sort of a consistent vision to it. And we're hoping that we can get, you know, some energy-efficient lighting that has a nice warm 2700K warmth to, it feels like a condensate as opposed to the incandescent feel that's there right now.
You might also, and I could be totally off the wall, that you might even consider something that's not in the same palette, just kind of like a dark, like a really dark green for the light, the light fixtures. It's just
different color. Yeah, we're kind of, go ahead.
It, also, if you could indicate where the light fixtures are going, like if you're going to have bollards, for example, I don't know if there's any there now, but if you, are you planning on adding some bollards?
Yeah, out in front, out here, and yeah. We have to do a reflected ceiling plan and a floor plan. We wanted to come back to you with some comments. This is our first concept level
pass. Yeah, so if you have a
concept
plan of where this various lighting types would go, that'd be helpful too. Yeah.
I think we're on board with the concept of what you're trying to do, though.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We'll,
just lighten it up and
fine-tune it.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think it's a great direction you're going. I really do.
Okay.
Chair Messner, I didn't want to jump in the conversation because it was going so well, but Scott Branch did indicate that we did skip over our declarations. So if we can do that quickly, that'd be appreciated.
Yeah.
So.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Likewise.
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 Thank you all.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
So when do you want to come back?
Probably the 24th, if that works.
Yeah, July 24th.
July 24th?
Yes.
We have to make a motion.
Continue to the July 24th.
With
comments.
Go ahead, make comments.
With comments.
All right, do I have a second?
This is where staff is going to ask us to do exactly what Carl was trying not to do.
Identify
being a little
comments.
Bit more specific with the comments that were
can I make a stab at it?
Shoot.
Now, we're moving for continuous, right?
Yes. Continuing with comments.
To when?
To what? July 24th.
Okay. The motion is to continue the project to July 24th with comments from the board that the board supports the concept the applicant has presented on lightening the facade, and the board would direct the applicant to provide photographs of existing locations where some of his treatments have been in use.
Similar with the sandstone slate combination, where that's been used,
right?
And to study the relationship between the two materials,
right?
Texture,
exactly.
Shape,
and the more representational depiction of the colors being used,
the light fixture colors,
and maybe a schematic or concept of where the various fixtures
and
will be located, bollards,
conceptual lighting plan with fixtures employed.
And
okay, we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
There you go.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got K, conceptual calendar, advisory calendar, discussion items. We talked about.
So there has been a request that at the start of our next meeting, much like the Planning Commission and the City Council, that we add the Pledge of Allegiance to the Design Review Board processes. So we will add that at the beginning of our next agenda as part of one of the items.
Okay.
Just now.
Okay. Request for future agenda items? Announcement by members?
You said that July 10th, we're not meeting. Is that correct?
Correct. Your next meeting is June 24th. July 10th, you're skipping. And then July 24th, we come back.
Okay. Adjourn.